biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Hey guys, this is Merrick Brave with the Black and the Brave Wrestling Academy, and you're listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got most of the bad boys here with me, and we are here for the recount. So guys, welcome here to the show. Let's get right to it. From ringsidenews.com is titled, Kenny Omega confirms he is wrestling through an injury avoiding surgery. And by the way, this came out on November 21st. So I want to throw that in because I know that you're listening to this later. And who knows, maybe magically he appeared in a week. So, you know, let me just throw that out there. Nevertheless, from Wrestling Observer, our good buddy Dave Meltzer had brought up that he could tell that Omega was injured for a while. And, Omega then confirmed that he has a torn labrum. But he said he's been able to avoid surgery thanks to AEW's medical team and his trainer, Bryce Reddy. Also, Omega said that if things get worse, of course, that's an option I have to consider, but he is not having the surgery right now. He is able to go to the trainers and they patch me up. And of course, this is important because he's got this big match coming up for the AEW World title against Jon Moxley, December 2nd. Fellas, I'm going to ask you, is this a smart move for Omega to say, hey, I'm gonna fight with this injury and just hope all is well instead of get surgery? What do you think?
Not abnormal. I mean, there's tons of wrestlers that go through this all the time, and they know they're injured, and they still continue to work their matches or the program that they're in. So, I mean, sure, it's not the first time he's done this. I think he knows his body well enough. I think he's young enough still to know his body.
Is this a really smart move? I mean, can you do more damage that could cause you to even be out even longer periods if things go even worse?
Well, you can always do more damage to a pre-existing injury. That just goes without saying. But again, you know, Kenny Omega has been in the game for how many years? I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's not a spring chicken. If he decided to take this chance, he obviously calculated the risk and, you know, obviously he sought the right people. It's not like he's doing it in secret. So he has a game plan. Like you said, he's going to go to the training or his trainer. He's going to go to the AEW medical staff for support. It's going to work itself out. Hope for the best.
All right. I'll jump over to you, Sin City. You think this is, we know this is an important match. And, you know, if he would have got the surgery, there's no way this could have led to what we have coming up with this major match. But if he knew this was happening, you know, sometime before this was approaching, do you think it was smart just to still go along with it? Or should they have maybe had this match to happen between him and Moxley or whoever would be the current AEW title champion and just push that down the line just to get this taken care of? Or you say, hey, he should just risk it?
So I think that the writing has been on the wall that Omega is going to beat Moxley. And I think that he's essentially just sticking to the plan. So obviously Moxley has his IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship match at Wrestle Kingdom on January 4th against Kenta. So it's one of those things where he has to be quarantined for 14 days before even going over there. So it's one of those things where they probably, you know, built the storyline with Omega around knowing that he will end up needing to lose in early December so that he can quarantine and then be over in Japan for the start of January.
Yeah.
So realistically speaking, I think that Omega is going to beat Moxley on December 2nd at Winter is Coming. And then do you have Moxley get pissed off and lay out Omega? Or do you put over someone else? You know, someone else coming down and laying out Omega after the match. So that way they can write him off TV. I mean, that's something that you could do personally. I would say if anything along that line is going to happen, it should be Moxley that does it, to put him on the shelf and thus force him to vacate the championship. But they've definitely booked themselves into a little bit of a corner with this one. I think that it's definitely not the best long-term for him to continue working without getting the surgery. But it's something to where, you know, with his trainers and everything like that right now, I mean, they're doing an amazing job with him. So it's really difficult to, you know, speak against what's working right now. If he's not in any kind of major pain or anything of that nature, if it's not damaging it any further with what he's doing, then that's another thing entirely. But yeah, definitely if I can't speak for, you know, him obviously, but
yeah,
if I'm a business person, then I tell him get the surgery, we'll circle back and we'll revisit it. And that's why you just employ the next man up strategy.
If you, Matt Michaels, was Tony Khan, knowing this a month out that this was happening with Omega, do you trust Omega in saying, hey, if you feel that you can work with our trainers and doctors to get through this, to do that, or to know the severity of what could possibly happen and make it worse, would you not allow this to continue?
So I'm not Tony Khan, thank God. I don't have to worry about it. But I just say, listen, Omega is 37 years old. Just take your title run. He, you know, obviously he's working through the pain to take the title run because you're committing to it. And that's probably the last, you know, big title run he'll have.
Yeah.
So just wrestle through it. What the fuck? I mean, if your arm's not hanging off of you, you know, maybe you'll strike gold and have it, you know, pop it out when you're in the middle of that final match before you have to go get the surgery. So it'd be a great image, you know, him walking, his arms just dangling there. Looks like he's done forever. And then he comes back in like 6 weeks because modern medicine.
Actually, according to the old internets, it's between 8 and 12 weeks would be the recovery time frame.
Yeah,
gotcha. Good stuff, dude. Let's move over into our second count, and that's from BleacherReport.com. Titled WWE and AEW's Burning Questions That Must Be Answered Before 2020 Ends, which means you guys will have to help answer these questions. Let's see. They said the first one is, what's next for Keith Lee? Who wants to take this? This is, again, Burning Questions That Must Be Answered Before 2020 Ends. What's next for Keith Lee?
I'll take it.
Okay.
It doesn't fucking matter. You picked it again. One of these pop-ups with all these ads and all these fucking pages we have to flip on to see who's what. And then we get shit like, what's going to happen next year for Keith Lee? It's like, it's next year. Who cares?
Well, according to the writer, he says Keith Lee has the potential to be a top protagonist on Monday night, but WWE has to book him in a new feud soon and give him some direction to close out 2020. Otherwise, he could get lost in the shuffle like many others on the rosters have in the past. Is that what you want to happen to Keith Lee?
Well, he's already on SmackDown, so that's one thing, you know. Oh, wait, that's Big E Sorry.
Like what?
Get him confused.
Oh boy. Anybody else want to take that on, God. Keith Lee?
Yeah. I'll take that on. Yeah. I think that Keith Lee right now is at a trajectory to where they know they want to strap a rocket to him and put him to the top. But I think they're actually doing the best thing for him right now and not going off that let's immediately launch him to the moon. Because I think if you do that, it would turn out to be way worse for him. I've noticed, and maybe it's just my perspective, that he kind of teeters on whether, you know, is he going to stay face or is he going to be a heel character? And I think that's something that if that is the case and everybody else shares that viewpoint, it's a good place for him. Because going into 21-21, that creates two avenues of opportunity for him to go into. That's just my opinion.
You're wrong.
Of course I'm wrong. To you, I'm wrong.
You're wrong. Tell me. Only one person going to the moon, and that's Cameron Grimes.
Outside of that.
Also, Simon.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Keith Lee going to be doing in 100 years?
In 100 years?
You said when we get into 21-21.
Oh, my bad. I'm at 2021. Thank you for that. Man, I'm tired. But
is going to be around?
You know what happens? But you know,
who gives a fuck?
Hold on. You know who will be around at that time? Vince McMahon in a fucking jar like on Futurama. Just his fucking head and his brain. No. Thank you for the correction. But yes, I'm talking about in 20.
You still think in 100 years that Keith Lee is Big E.
And in that same amount of time, he still won't be in the main event.
All right. So this will probably be for you then, Sin City Steve. Let's go to the second one he mentioned. Where does Hangman Adam Page go from here? And again, we're saying these are burning questions that must be answered before 2020 ends. So what do you think, Sin City, on this one?
So I think that you're actually going to see the end of winter is coming. Kenny Omega celebrating in the center of the ring with the AEW championship. And you're going to pan out and you're probably going to see Hangman Adam Page maybe in the crowd or watching via a TV or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to continue to build this and you're going to end up seeing Hangman Adam Page be the one to actually end up taking the championship from Kenny Omega. They're going to be planting the seeds for that right as Omega wins the title.
Hmm. Okay. Let me ask you, Mr. Matt Michaels, because I feel like being attacked. You know, whenever you feel like being attacked, you got to go to the person who's ready to just chop your head off. The writer says that it wouldn't be hard to imagine him forming an alliance with FTR eventually. Do you see that happening?
No.
The way he said it. No.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I feel you. Let's go over to our third one. Again, these are burning questions that must be answered before the end of 2020. The next one would be, who's Asuka's next challenger?
Sasha Banks next.
Yes! According to, let me help you out, Matt Michaels, or even you, Simon Street. According to the writer, he says, unfortunately, there are many credible contenders available. Interestingly, Reckoning, formerly known as Mia Yim, has been taking shots at the second women's Grand Slam champion for a few weeks. Maybe she will be willing to challenge Asuka in the weeks to come. What y'all think about that?
That would be great. Is she going to do that with the mask off?
No.
So she's going to have the mask on?
Mask on.
Okay.
It's a character, dude. Of course she's got the
mask. You know I said it purposely because I hate the masks, at least of those people.
What do you mean, those people?
You know, those retribution people. I hate the masks. Love the mask with the luchadors. Hate those people. Oh, not them as people, but yeah.
Oh,
whatever.
My God.
Okay. That's actually a really good question because Mia Yim's the only person that pops to my mind, honestly. Mm-hmm. Right now, unless somebody from NXT comes up that's mm-hmm. could possibly go there, I don't see anybody else. Let's put it that way.
Okay. How about
now? Would actually be a good time for Mia Yim to get elevated a little bit. I mean, we're in a dead time between now and the Royal Rumble. So yeah, I'd be cool with that actually.
Okay. Let's go over to our next one then. How about, now these are questions, burning questions that's just got to be answered before the end of 2020. Can AEW improve its women's division? I mean, hell, we only got like a month to go. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do that. They've been struggling the whole year. But what's your take on that?
The only way that they're going to improve their women's division is if they sign Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb to actual AEW contracts. I mean, realistically speaking, their developmental system, or as I should say, their lack of a developmental system, doesn't benefit the bulk of their women's roster. You've got, you know, some of these women that haven't, you know, gotten 100 matches under their belt, and it's one of those things where it really sucks to say, but it's noticeable. And there's not a whole lot that can be done, especially before the end of 2020.
Yeah.
That would really mean that they would have to, you know, shake almost absolutely everything up from the bottom to the top. And I don't see that happening by the end of this year.
You know, Matt Michaels, it said to add insult to injury, the NWA Women's World Champion has been much more visible on AEW programming lately, making their own women's title look like an afterthought. With that said, Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb have been fantastic additions to a thin roster. What you think?
I think he listens to this show.
Okay.
Because we've been saying that for the past, you know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it's been.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, if the NWA title is showing as more valuable to your company than your own women's title, something is wrong.
Right. So. Right, right. Okay. Burning questions that's got to be answered before the end of 2020. How about what's next for Bayley? What do you think, face Simon Street?
Face turn.
Oh my god.
Face turn, but she still looks like Punky Brewster with a haircut.
Punky Brewster.
That's something that popped in my mind, Punky Brewster. No, I'm just playing. No, but seriously, Bailey, I think they're still gonna tug at that Sasha rope.
Unfortunately,
I think that's what they're gonna do.
The writer says, and you can maybe you can reply to that. She could enter a secondary feud with Bianca Belair until she and Banks inevitably go one on one again. Whatever the case, Bayley needs a new opponent to prove she can be as entertaining with another dance partner. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Who would you guys? What should be next for Bayley? Apparently, nothing is next for her, and that question has got to be answered before the end of this year. It's a burning question that must be answered.
Well, I would say Bianca Belair probably the only thing that might be of somewhat entertaining quality if we were talking about before the end of the year.
Okay.
Because everybody knows it's going to be Sasha and Bayley WrestleMania. I mean, that's pretty much prophesized, and the wrestling gods have proclaimed it. Trumpets and everything.
All right.
So in that case, you really shouldn't want it to be Bianca Belair because you're wanting to build Bianca Belair.
Yeah, point.
And you can't put her against Bayley.
Yeah.
And because that would mean that Bayley is not protected either. And if you're going to have her going against your women's champion on your brand, that's just not going to fly.
And beating your women's champion on your brand.
Correct.
Give
her
the belt back, please. Well, y'all are forgetting one person.
Who?
Woo!
Yep.
Yeah, she is due to come back. I mean, it would make sense to put her
on. Now would be a great time to bring Charlotte back.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you on that.
Which I'm going to point out one quick thing that I said a long time ago, and I'm being a little bit of a King Lucky. But I said at one point it would be really cool if all four horsewomen were on the same show. Now, not counting Becky, obviously Becky got baby. That's about to come out soon. But you would have essentially three a third of the four horsewomen on one show. I don't know if that'll survive towards next draft, but that's pretty damn cool if you think about it. But then again, we had that on Raw anyways. Didn't we have the same thing on Raw, right? No, because Bayley was still on SmackDown. So, yes, that would be a good thing. So you look agonizingly cringed by what I just said.
Well, because it, again, made no real sense at all other than they'd all be on the same show.
I'm still hoping and praying for the Four Horsewomen story to pop out. I'm sorry. Call me gullible. Call me stupid as shit.
Okay, gullible, stupid as shit.
It's fine. Hey, I will wear that today.
Here's our last one. The burning question has got to be answered before the
end. Stop saying burning. Just say the question.
Shit. Hey, man. The article, the title of the fucking article is Burning Questions.
Okay, but what kind of burner are we talking about? Like, ooh, that stove is hot? Or like, I have gonorrhea?
Like the burning that you need to consult your doctor about.
Okay. All right. Well, these aren't that. A beaver. I'm just messing. Go ahead with your question.
Are the Elite heel?
Yes.
Most of them.
I don't think the Elite knows if they're heel.
The problem that the Bucks have gotten themselves into is they've got the whole merch freak going on, and so they love to push their own merch, but all of a sudden they want to turn heel out of nowhere, yet also sell merch. So it's... I think you're pretty accurate with that they don't even know, but they, three of the four are, and it's one of those things where you've got the Bucks and Omega, they are heels as of right now. You've got Hangman that is not, and excuse me, three out of the five, excuse me.
Is Cody part of the Elite or no?
So, He goes back and forth between being a member of the Nightmare family and the member of the Elite. I don't know if he even knows whether he's a member of the Elite or not.
Okay.
He just knows he's Brandy's husband, and that's all that matters.
All right.
Basically. And just like how he doesn't know whether or not he wants to have bleach blonde hair or black hair. You know, he's gonna show up one week with one way, another week with another color. I mean, who knows?
It's facts.
No, it's like pick a fucking appearance and stick to it.
He's kind of like all of us when we were playing like WWE SmackDown back in the day. Like, that's exactly this one didn't look good for that. Let me change the whole club of my creative character.
He unlocked the creator wrestler options.
And he just decided to go with it. It looked good. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Now that's a burning question. Will Cody actually have one fucking gimmick? That's a burning question. Is that the end of these damn stupid questions? I don't know.
But right. Yes. So three of the five are. Cody is whatever he feels like being this week. So it's not going to be, sometimes it's a heel. Sometimes he displays heel tendencies in certain matches. But again, he's a host on the big show, or the whatever the fuck it's called, the Win Big Show or the Go Big Show or whatever it is, that's blatantly a ripoff of another WWE fucking trademark, which I have to laugh about. Yeah, the Go Big Show is what it is.
Gotcha. All right. We would jump over into our third count, which comes from EssentiallySports.com, also Ringside News. From EssentiallySports.com, it is titled, Lana Reveals Traumatizing Details of Depression After Husband Miro's WWE Exit. And just kind of read a little bit about it. It says that Lana has opened up about the battling depression after her husband, Rusev, a.k.a. Miro, quit WWE. The WWE Chronicles released an episode where the WWE Raw superstar recounted her dark days. She did not know how to cope with Miro leaving WWE, considering both of them were the same, were with the same company, is obviously they spent a lot of time together, and the situation declined from spending all the time together to rarely getting time together, and this had a negative effect on her. Also, factors leading to her depression was she faced a lot of backlash from the WWE audience in the harshest way possible, and she dealt with the audience commenting on her social media posts, boring her when she stepped inside the ring, and had to reduce interaction to a minimum. So, guys, I got a chance to watch the Chronicles on the WWE Network just to kind of take a look at what happened. And you know, we've talked many times on this show of the importance that depression plays in a lot of the talent. You know, how it plays and how it affects them in different ways. So it is something that shouldn't be taken lightly in any way. We also saw that Brandi from AEW and Jordynne Grace from Impact Wrestling reached out to her through her social media to show some support, because again, they know that this is something that is very serious. Guys, I'm just curious, what's your take after reading or maybe viewing this, that Lana has been, you know, I mean, we've kind of made our comments about seeing her consistently go through tables, and the fact of saying that she's taking a punishment because of Miro being over at AEW. Now, of course, we're just making things up. We don't know the true reason why, but, you know, we saying that that could be. But there's a lot of people saying a lot of things, and obviously she's someone that, as she reads her social media, you know, easily can get put into that depression mode. And at the same time, not having her husband around also can just be a challenge. And from watching the Chronicles, it seemed like her best friend, she only seems to have Natty and Natty's husband as good friends. You know, that's how it made it seem. I'm hoping she has more she can rely on, but that's mainly who she talked to and kicked it with in that entire series. And she thanked Natty a lot for a lot of the trainings and things that she's going through. All right, so gentlemen, what do you think about this and Lana's situation? What do you take?
I think it was a good opportunity to kind of showcase a story. And I think the reason why you had Brandi reach out, and especially you had Jordynne Grace, said this hits home. She's been in this situation, apparently. I think when you hear a lot of old wrestlers, and you're probably wondering, why am I mentioning old wrestlers? A lot of old wrestlers talk about the sacrifice being in this industry. And until you get a lot of them around, they talk about these sacrifices, how much they missed out or how hard it was to do that. That doesn't mean that everybody is invincible to what the sacrifice that's demanded of you in this business, right? And so the unfortunate side that, you know, Miro left WWE, went somewhere else, and she's essentially by herself. Her telling that story is another dimension of what people sacrifice to entertain us. Do you see what I'm saying? And she, even before that, she was going through, like, trying to establish herself. I don't know 100%, but I feel like she was trying to establish herself, you know, as part of WWE talent. You know, not just being looked at as, I'm just, you know, went from a valet to a manager to, you know, in ring sometimes. And so that had to be difficult too. But I didn't get a chance to watch the Chronicle. I will watch it after the show. Well, maybe not after the show, but tomorrow. But I will tell you that it's a good opportunity to see somebody's, them going through depression and how they work through it, and the support that people have given her. Such as Natty, to get her through it. I think that's amazing, and it's powerful. And having other people see that, I'm sure there's other wrestlers that go through this exact situation. And so when I read the article, I was like, wow, you know, there's other wrestlers that probably experienced the same thing, whether they be male or female.
Well, you know? We were questioning at an Impact pay-per-view not too long ago, why didn't Kylie Rae show up at a major spot that she was in, almost to win the belt? And then now we're beginning to read that she's going to step away from wrestling, and it has to do with depression as well. So she did what was best for her during this time. Lana right now, you know, it's got to be tough, because you know, the fans, in many ways, you feel that you have a connection with them and you want to interact with them. But we also know that people can just be flat out mean. I know a person, you know, one of the radio hosts I listen to, Howard Stern, he would say most of the time he don't even read his Twitter. I mean, he's got millions of people on there, but he doesn't read it because all they do is sit back and just talk shit to him all the time. So why read it is his point. You know, is that something that maybe not only Lana, but maybe other people should just do? Yeah, you got to have a social media set up, but maybe you should just stay away from it and not pay any attention and maybe help you get through the, you know, not being depressed. What would be your take on that, Sin City?
So I think that the biggest problem that we have is that mental health is still viewed with such a stigma in our country and in our world. I think that a lot of people, especially, you know, people in the public eye, they feel like as if, you know, they have to put on this facade 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, especially, you know, the people that we watch in the wrestling ring. I think that it's surprising to me that honestly, there are not more wrestlers that suffer from issues related to mental health. Because we live in an extremely critical society mm-hmm. where everybody with an opinion, takes to social media, or they may run a podcast, or, you know, they may do any of that kind of stuff. I mean, we're a great example. We have an opinion. We put our opinions out there. And it's one of those things that it's very easy to take some of those things to heart. It unfortunately, it's not going to go away. Freedom of speech is a thing. And thankfully that is the case. You know, I think that we really do need to have a more pronounced effort behind destigmatizing mental health mm-hmm. and mental health issues for a lot of people in this country. And we need to not treat it like it's a terrible thing whenever somebody has these things that absolutely affect them.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you, Matt Michaels, on the Survivor Series, we know that on the Raw team, Lana ended up being the last one standing. She was the sole survivor, as they titled it, for the women's Raw. And, you know, overall, I guess you can look at that and say that the message is, despite the fact that she was being torn down, putting through tables, being mean, she still ended up being on top. Do you think that message is coming through, let's say, the WWE universe? Is that being shown? And also, is this even helping her out to even see that despite everything that's been coming at her, she is still being shown that, hey, I'm still in a position of showing that I'll be okay? Do you think that message is showing or being expressed to everyone that sees it?
I don't care. I really don't. It's Lana. And here's the thing. In terms of mental health, yes, that's appropriately something that is seriously, you know, underappreciated in society. We've talked about it before. And if she truly has issues, then she needs to use, you know, any means possible with psychiatrists and psychologists. With that being said, it is really fucking convenient they happen to have a camera detailing her story. Huh. And they're working a storyline out that has her getting put through tables and being trashed on and et cetera, et cetera. Everyone is being worked. That's my view. My view is this is a storyline. Whether or not it started as a storyline, it became a storyline.
Mm-hmm. So, there's some truth to that. And I talked about it earlier. I said I felt like the Survivor Series was focused in on her, and this does tie into it. But like Michael said, he separated it between mental health, totally different story. Right. And like I mentioned, there's women and men who are not wrestlers, who have had a normal functioning relationship with their spouse, and then their spouse just immediately has to go travel on a regular basis away from them, or whatever the case may be. That's got to be tough on somebody. And if you are already have depression, because I have depression, that can be really, that just that change can be a lot.
So if it is a work, is do you believe that the message that I guess that they're trying to express is getting out there?
Because you're getting beat over the head with it. Of course it's getting out there.
I think it's no different than what they did with Jeff Hardy. I mean, to be honest with you, Jeff Hardy storyline where he was recovering alcohol, you know, they've done that a million times. I'm saying that you can take something from real life if that person is comfortable. The question is, was Lana comfortable with them taking something that was real life to her and making it into a story? That's the question I have. Well, was she truly comfortable in the position
she had a chronicle? She better have been comfortable because.
Well, I know because she had to sign off on it. I'm just saying, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and here's the thing, too. Let's face it, we have been talking more about Lana now, and Miro has actually gotten the shittier hand in this deal because. Yep. Yeah. He's the one who is at AEW getting fucking misused, you know. And here's Lana. She just won Survivor Series. So do I feel sorry for her position that she's in? And here's
Of course. Well, look, her job.
Wait. Well, let me finish this one thought because this is very important. And that is this. In that, she said to the extent that she misses going online. She can't because of all the negative stuff. But she made it seem like going online, like her fans were her friends. So you brought up a great point, and that was the documentary made it seem like Natty and Tyson are like her only friends outside of Miro, let's say, right? So this person then thinks that if she goes online, she can have more friends that way? You know what I'm saying? It's people are going to shit all over you, okay? It's just the nature of the internet. But if you're expecting to want to go online and share this about yourself and that about yourself and this about yourself and thinking that all your fans are friends, maybe you need to find more friends. And maybe there's a reason she doesn't have more friends.
The internet affects people. It affects people differently, right? I mean, if you got a talent of 100 wrestlers, and you got 90 of them who've learned to ignore, and another 10 who's never gotten to that point of figuring out, it can be stressful for those particular people. So I don't know if she's necessarily looking for friends, or the fact that she's looking for.
My point is this: the way she was talking about how much she loves using the internet for that fan interaction, you have to know and be expectant of the fact that not everything you post is going to be liked by everyone.
You would think that people would know that.
But let me chime in on this, okay? Although that is very true and concrete, you have to realize that if she does indeed suffer with depression, that still is a mold you have to break through. Even though you know the reality of that, you still have to break through that mold. Because the depression thing, the way I look at it and what I have, it can happen every day. It can happen. It can stop happening for a couple of days, and it just hits one day. And you know what I'm saying? If you happen to be looking in the internet, it's like times a thousand. Even though you know the reality that these people, I don't give a shit.
But
depression adds that on.
But you got to remember one thing, and that is, she is a celebrity, right? So if you know you have depression, you shouldn't be using the internet if that triggers your depression.
True, but you also have to think about this. Yes, we can say that, okay, you chose to be a celebrity, okay? But what if in her head she doesn't realize that she can choose another avenue of a job or choose another avenue of anything? There are some people, and I know you give me that word, look, there's some people who, even though the rest of the world says there's an out, hear me out.
How did she start? She already had another career. She was
an actress. I understand that. Okay, but what I'm trying to get my point across is that not everybody knows that they have an out, even though it's the obvious choice. Like you stated earlier, you should stay away from social media possibly if you know it triggers you. But not everybody is aware of that for themselves.
We're not talking about everyone. We're talking about one person.
Lana. I'm talking about Lana. Lana may not know that you need to stay away from social media.
And guess what? Now she knows. There you go.
How do you know? Are you her dad? How do you know?
Because if she's listening to this, she knows. If someone wants to play this for her, she knows. You just put it out on the internet. Therefore, anyone can listen, and anyone can think I'm a jackass or suck, or that Steve, I don't even want to get into what people think about Steve. Oh, I'm sure. But that's the fact. The fact of the matter is that I get it. But you know what else she has? She has a fucking job that most people would kill for. And most people would trade their experience with their own mental health to get that opportunity. And the fact of the matter is she was a struggling actress. She went into this. She took to it. She had fun, you know, developing it. She had to struggle learning the actual physicality of being in the ring. Her husband willingly, you know, decided to sign with another company, right? He could have stayed at home until her contract was done. So there's factors we do not know. And True. The easiest is to turn it and say, like I said, mental health's no joke. So we already established that. And that anyone who's going through mental health issues, you know, of course we want you to seek help. You know, all of us have had our own issues, except DJ. He's kind of perfect. All right. So the fact of the matter is now, outside of that, that's what I'm saying. This seems to me that they took something, they went with it, she was fine with them doing it, and guess what? She's getting talked about more now than her husband.
Yeah, and that's the result.
Is it something you have? Yes. What it is, I won't dare to say if it was one or the other, but you are now outshining your husband. So you are doing a good job of what you're supposed to be doing, selling wrestling angles.
Okay. And it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks though, because let's just say if she does have depression issues, I feel like that focus, and like you said, that the convenience of you having a chronicle and this happening, are you really getting the attention that you should deserve that will help you through your depression? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like I just kind of feel like.
But you're talking about the real aspects of depression again. Like I said, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just solely using stuff like you mentioned, Jeff Hardy's situation, mm-hmm. as part of product. And if she really does suffer from depression, where it's this stressful or, you know, this imperative that she has, you know, some kind of help, right? The fact of the matter is do you not think the company's been aware of this?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they have for a while. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come out with a chronicle.
Right, exactly. So
they didn't just show up with a camera.
Well, I don't think this depression probably has been something that's always been around. I mean, this is something that when she's been with her part, you know, with Miro, however long she's been, and if that's who she spends her life with, to now not to have that access to him, that could change a person. You know, I mean, same thing with my wife or with your parent. They take you away and you have them all the time. You don't know what that would do to you. It could do something to you. And that's when this depression came after that fact. Who knows that was going to happen? It happened.
Let me ask you this question, though, D.
Sure.
You saw the Chronicle, correct? The whole thing?
Yes.
Okay. This article and it focusing on the traumatizing details, was that the main part of this Chronicle? Was her struggling through depression to overcome, or that was a small part and this author decided to focus on the traumatizing details.
The Chronicle, really, because as you're aware, I'll be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of the Chronicles, but apparently it takes a short period of time to just kind of talk about whatever. So we're talking like a 2 week, 3 week period that this was taking place, and most of it was really talking about how she got started, first being a dancer or ballet in Russia, and how it went to that to progress and coming into the States and getting into wrestling, and how she moved on from there. So it talked about all of that, but at that time they spent some time talking about the mural, to be honest with you, that was probably only about a good 2 or 3 minutes.
So it wasn't a huge part is what you're saying.
Right.
It wasn't a huge part. This is really who we should get at is this author. Because they really made it seem like this was the biggest part.
Not just this author. I mean, if you would go to the search engine and put Lana Chronicles, you would probably get 10 different stories from 10 different websites all saying the same thing. It's
the salacious thing in the Chronicles. That's it.
That's correct.
Why it's.
That's true. That's true. So the bottom line is look, by all means, if it's a work, and it probably is, all I can say is that, as long as the message comes through somehow positive to the person who's watching it, then that's a good thing. If she is some way affected by it, hopefully she's working through it. Listen, we all know she's not. I don't think anybody, when they see Lana, first off, gets excited to see her. So she probably does take a bunch of shit from people who want to go straight to social media, who feel they have to let her know how they feel. And that can probably bother anyone if they go to social media all the time, hoping that they can find someone to say, man, you're awesome. But to find that one, you have to go through 20 to tell you suck. And that's gotta be tough, So hopefully, in some way, if that is her issue, she will figure out a way to get through that. And, or by all means, you become like Kylie Rae and be like, you know what? I need to just step away from it. I don't think she would do that. But if it comes down to it, sometimes you got to make those tough decisions. So we'll see from there. Thank you, guys. That's our three count for today. We thank you for listening. And we should be back next week with something else for you, all right? Until then, take care.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.